Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. If you will listen closely to the things I want to bring to you, we will eventually be called upon to make a very serious self-examination. We shall be given the opportunity to determine in what spiritual state we presently are and what alternatives are before us. Now, the Bible presents to us five spiritual states once we are born into this life. They are the state of innocence and infancy and childhood, the sinful state of the world, the state of the saved, those in the church, and then two eternal states, either heaven or hell. Now, every state has an entrance and an exit, except heaven and hell. They have no exit. For the purpose of our study, we will not include the intermediate state of the dead between death and the judgment, because once we leave this life in death, the final and eternal state will already be determined. Nothing in the intermediate state will alter that finality. We will reserve a study of the Hadean, the in-between state, for another lesson. We enter into the world by being born. We enter into a state of innocence. We are helpless, dependent on others, but spiritually innocent. Now, we are aware that some teach that a baby is born into the world totally depraved, wicked, and damned. But the Scriptures do not so teach, but actually puts emphasis that such is not the case. The infant, friend, is not capable of knowing good from evil. We read in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 35, when God placed the pronouncement of death upon those Israelites who disobeyed him on the way to Canaan, he excluded the little ones. He said, "Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear unto your fathers." But then he added, "Moreover, your little ones, which ye have said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." Deuteronomy 1 and verse 39. In Luke 18, 15 through 17, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." The same thing is taught in Matthew 18 as well as in 19. They teach that one must be as a child to be a part of the kingdom. Now, friend, reason with me. If children are doomed and damned and wicked and evil and lost, then why would Jesus want anybody to become like little children? But the fact is, children have never been lost. Children do not need to be saved because they're still safe in their innocence. One must become innocent and pure and clean and spiritually undefiled as children are to enter the kingdom. We can know that children, therefore, are safe. They are not yet accountable nor responsible before God. And should death overtake the infant or the young child, we need have no anxiety concerning his soul. But should that child grow to maturity and to the age and ability where he can know good and evil and is responsible and accountable to God, he, like all others who grow to such a level, will sin. He will obey unrighteousness, and his sin will condemn him. And Paul said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. In Romans 3:9, he said, "We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." Sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, but all are sinners who partake of sin for themselves. Paul said, "For that all have sinned," Romans 5 and verse 12. Jesus said, "Everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin," John 8:34. Paul said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Those once innocent can either obey wickedness or they can obey righteousness. The Bible teaches that if we live through the state of innocence, we will in time obey wickedness and unrighteousness, and we will sin. And that takes us from innocence into the sinful state of the world. Now those in the world are lost. Before one comes to Christ to be saved, he is described as being without Christ, an alien from the people of God, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, surely lost because they are without God in the world, Ephesians 2 and verse 12. 1 John 4 and verse 19, and we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Why would the world need a Savior, except that those in the world are lost? Christ came to save the world, John 12:47. The state of the world is undesirable to the extent that those who follow Christ are not to be fashioned and conformed to this world, Romans 12:1-2. In fact, James admonishes, keep oneself unspotted from the world. Further, he teaches that friendship with the world is enmity with God. John wrote, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, we enter into the world by sinning, and there are two exits from this sinful state of the world that we enter through the doorway of transgression. One exit is death. The other exit is obedience to the gospel. My listening friend, should we leave the sinful world by death, our doom is sealed. Those not converted to Christ and not saved shall be condemned to an eternal hell. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, through Luke 13 and verse 3. Jesus said to those who refused to believe on him, ye serpents, ye offspring of vipers, how shall ye escape the judgment of hell? Matthew 23:33. Paul said the wages of sin is death, and that refers to spiritual death, which is that eternal separation from God, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 through 9. But one does not have to be overtaken in the sinful state of the world by death. He can be converted. He can be saved. He can leave the world of sin through the doorway provided by the grace of God. He can obey the gospel and be saved. And when one obeys the gospel, he is added to the Lord's church, Acts 2 and verse 47. This is the saved estate. Believing, John 3:16. Repenting, Luke 13:3. Confessing Christ, Luke 12:8-9. And being baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. That's what God commands in order to be saved. By this we are enabled to reach the saving blood of Christ, Romans 6:3-4. Whereas one was out of Christ, friend, obedience to the gospel puts him in Christ. And Paul says we're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. But now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. And in Christ is where salvation is to be found, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. It is in the church where we have the privilege of serving the Lord as a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 1:7. And faithfulness in the church will eventually mean we shall enter the eternal joys that God has for the saved and in heaven. Now there are two exits from the condition of the saved and from the church. One is the way that leads back into the world, an entanglement in sin once again. Once saved, friend, we can fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. And Peter said, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment given unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb. Pause here. Notice how God describes that one who has fallen away. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Friend, that doctrine that some teach, once saved, always saved, is a false doctrine, and we dare not be deceived thereby. Should one return to the sinful state of the world again and die there, his hope of heaven is destroyed. Of course, one who has fallen away can return to the saved state by being restored. He does not do the same as he did before he entered the saved state originally. But as we learn from the example of a man named Simon, a former sorcerer, who heard the word, believed the word, obeyed the word, being baptized, he later sinned, and was once again in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. The Apostle Peter told him what to do. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Acts 8 and verse 22. Yes, a fallen brother can be restored, Galatians 6 and verse 1. And all kind of efforts should be made to restore him, James 5, 19 and 20. And once restored, he can renew his service to God. But if death overtakes him in his fallen state, Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Luke 9 and verse 62. But there is that other and glorious exit from the church or the saved state, and that is to die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works do follow them. Revelation 14, 13. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain," Philippians 1:27. And in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Friend, the eternal domain of the spirit of man will be either hell, the place of punishment, or heaven, the place of reward. And once we enter in, whichever it may be, there we will forever exist. Luke 16 teaches that there is no crossing over from one realm to the other, not in the Hadean intermediate state, and certainly it will not be that way in eternity. The condition man is able to trace his existence by coming to a knowledge of the states into which he can enter and in which he can exist. Being born, he can live in innocence for a while until he's capable of being accountable to God, if he lives to that age. Should the infant die, heaven will be the place of the soul. Should he live, he will sin, and sin separates him from God. He enters the lost state. And should he die in that state, he will eventually enter into hell and there remain. But he can escape hell and leave the sinful world by obeying the gospel, becoming a member of the body of Christ, which is his church. And if he remains faithful in the Lord's church and dies in that faithful state, heaven will surely be his home eternally. Of course, he can fall from his saved state back into the world. But then he can either be restored to the saved state, or if he chooses, he can remain in the world and suffer the terrible fate of the lost. The pressing matter confronting every thinking person is, where does he now exist? What will be the destiny of my soul if I remain and continue as I am? Having left infancy, am I still in the sinful world? Shall I exit that sinful state by death, or will I obey the gospel? And if I am in the saved state, shall I remain faithful and remain saved before God? And if I've already fallen away, shall I remain back in the world, or shall I be restored? There are only two eternal destinies presented to us in the Scripture, as we have mentioned, heaven and hell. Each one is going to one or the other place, but each one has the power to choose which it will be. What will it be with you? This has been A Burning Fire, your speaker, Jim Boyd. Until next time.